What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Another good one for you today. Dubs get a big win in OKC over the weekend. Lock down the Thunder. Boogie injures his foot. Got an update on that. Some returns to the court tonight and some people missing the game tonight as well. Gonna cover all that and more coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
What up, everybody? Welcome in to Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. What is good? The Dubs get a big win over the weekend in OKC, minus Kevin Durant. A lot of news coming out of that game, a lot of good things and one bad thing. And I waited to do this podcast because I wanted to get an update on DeMarcus Cousins, and I wanted to get it out there for you. So before I get into, you know, in depth about that game Saturday night, I want to talk about the fact DeMarcus Cousins injured his ankle, his foot, actually. It's hard to tell whether it's during that game that he initially injured it or if it's something that's been lingering. But he got taken out late in the fourth, or like mid-fourth, did not come back in, and, you know, was reported he had a sore foot. And then yesterday they report that he's going to get an MRI that was today. And so, you know, look, you got to do your due diligence, make sure everything's all right. But an MRI is not the, it's not what you want to hear, because they're basically looking to see if something terrible has gone wrong. Luckily, the results came back. The MRI is clean. They haven't announced it yet, but he's going to miss tonight's game against San Antonio, tomorrow's game against Minnesota, and then I assume be day-to-day after that. We haven't gotten an update as far as that's concerned, whether it'll be day-to-day or they'll reevaluate him in a week, whatever it is, but we know he's going to miss these next two games. But the fact the MRI came back clean is good news. The bad news is that he suffered any injury at all, period, but especially at a time where he was really getting into a groove with this team, where he was really fitting in, starting to find the rotation pattern as well. Steve Kerr had kind of found a nice second unit group for him to work with, where it was Quinn, Clay, Sean, Jordan Bell, and DeMarcus, and you could sub in McKinney in there for Jordan Bell at times as well. It was a good group. And they had been plus, I don't have the exact number, at least plus 13 over their four stints together. And who knows, maybe it was just something that, you know, had a short shelf life and would have changed. But at the very least, it was working for the time being. But now that he's injured, you know, Steve Kerr is going to have to find something else for the moment. And it's not that big of a deal, because it's at least what Steve Kerr is going to have to do, find new rotations. It's, you know, champagne problems, first world problems, because he's got so many all-stars, you know. Kevin Durant's coming back tonight. So it just sucks for DeMarcus and his injury, but we'll see what the timeline is for his return. And hopefully Steve will go back to that group that worked so well in that second unit. Moving on backwards to the game Saturday night, definitely have to cover it because it was one that was, I was nervous about it as far as their chances of winning. And then as far as the results concerned, it was big. Because OKC is a good team. They're a good defensive team. They have aspects to their team that bother the Warriors. They're incredibly long. They're a big team. The Warriors are, I wouldn't say they're not, but they can't match up perfectly with the length that the Thunder have. And it turned out to be a beatdown right out the gates. The Warriors in the first quarter came out locked in. Steph and Clay, shot was on point. DeMarcus Cousins was playing his newfound role, his upgraded David West role, I kind of like to call it. And it's something that I've been waiting to see ever since he came back was, you know, he's a good enough passer. He's comfortable on the block, comfortable posting up. Why aren't we running offense around him like we did with David West? And we started to see that a lot over the last couple games, and it's been incredibly effective. He has 13 assists over the last two games. Could have had a lot more if, you know, people made every single shot. He had a dime later in the game in transition to Alphonso McKinney, where Russ fouled him to, you know, avoid the dunk. But it was a dime on the move, bounce pass, right-handed, like, pitch down the court. It was sick. He's been great. And that's why the injury's so bad right now. But also, again, the good news is the fact that he's going to be fine. Anyways, back to the game. They were running the offense through DeMarcus. Steph and Clay were getting off. No question. Steph, it was great to see. Not only that he was playing well, but he was aggressive. He took 9 shots in that first quarter, went 5 of 9, 2 of 3 from three. And Clay, same thing. He was 3 of 6, 2 of 4 from three. They were getting shots up. And even better than that was their defense. Defensively, this entire team was locked in. And it goes to back to the point when Steve Kerr started Andre Iguodala against the Rockets, I believe, to show that, all right, we're taking this seriously. It's time to lock in. It's time to get in playoffs mode. And he did that against the Thunder, started Andre Iguodala in place of Kevin Durant. And we forget, Draymond gets the headlines as far as being a great defender because he is former Defensive Player of the Year, etc. But we forget that there's at least 2 other elite defensive players on this team. And I mean elite, as in, you know, all defensive teams. It's you know, a crime, as I absolutely exaggerate it, a crime that Clay has never been on an all-defensive team. It is bullshit, though. He absolutely should have been on multiple all-defensive teams, and this better be the year that he makes it. And I'll tell you what, if he doesn't make it this year, you know what I'm going to do about it? Nothing. I'm going to be angry about it and not be able to do anything about it. So I hope he does. He deserves it, has deserved it for a long time. He locked up Russell Westbrook, clamps, you know, renting space in his head, all the cliches you want to throw out there, but he owned Westbrook as far as defensively. And part of that was Westbrook's own doing. He was just bad, but at the same time, he was bad because Clay was all over him. Westbrook ended 2 of 16, 0 of 7 from 3, 7 points in the game. I mean, he was close to a triple-double, though, so it was pretty close to a good game, right, guys? How does a guy that shoots 28% from 3, and give him credit because that's up from 22% earlier this year, how does a guy that shoots 28% from 3 take 7 threes in a game? It's ridiculous. I don't know how people are such big fans of his. That was strong, but I still don't get it. Inefficient player. Anyways, back to what made him inefficient was Klay Thompson's incredible defense. And it wasn't just in the first quarter, it was throughout the entire game. Klay was hot in the first with 10 points. Anthony Slater had a tweet that was pretty funny because it rings true. Klay Thompson jumpers just feel like they sting these fans more than in any other arena. 2 threes and a mid-ranger already, 10 points. Talking about the first quarter. And yeah, it's true. He's definitely their boogeyman. Similar to, look, when Kyrie's an oracle, when he's going off, it hurts. It always will. But yeah, I mean, Anthony Slater had a good point. Klay is the boogeyman of that OKC arena. I don't even know what it's called. Vivint Energy. Is that the one? I don't know. Either way, the Warriors had a great first quarter against the Thunder, and which is starting to become a theme, a recurring theme with the Warriors, which is good, because terrible first quarters started to become a recurring theme less than a month ago. They won the quarter 40-27, 13-point lead going into the second. In the first quarter, Steph and Clay had 23 points, 5 made threes, Westbrook and George, 7 points, 1 of 9 from the field, 0 threes. Warriors were up 40-27 at the end of the first. Great sign for the Warriors that after holding Houston to 36% shooting in the first quarter on Wednesday, they put up 40 on OKC and also held them to 34% shooting in the first quarter. So those are first quarter numbers. Rockets to 36%, Thunder to 34%. And that's also part of what's helping them in these first quarters of recent is the fact that they're defending in the first quarter. It's not just about making shots. It's about stopping them from hitting shots. They are a plus 47 in their last four quarters. They had been terrible the 10 games prior. Now they're putting it together to where it's a strength. In the second, the great play continued. As I mentioned, that second unit that has really found a groove with DeMarcus and Jordan Bell and Quinn and Clay and Sean played great. They did what they've been doing, running off of DeMarcus Cousins. And here's the other thing that'll get lost. DeMarcus Cousins is playing much better defense. And it's not just him. The other people around him are playing better defense. They're learning how to play together, which, again, is why his injury hurts even a little bit more. But the fact is, it's good news that it's just who knows what it is, an ankle sprain, I guess. They still haven't come out and said it, but that the MRI came back clean. He had two excellent reads in the pick and roll, coming up with back-to-back turnovers. His defensive game has really, really started to pick up, but like I said, same with all the other players around him. And part of the reason why that second unit with Quinn is working so well is because Quinn's been hitting shots. He's been knocking down threes over the last couple games. In his last two games, getting minutes with that second unit, he is 6 of 8 from the field and 3 of 5 from three. Those aren't huge numbers, but again, it kind of illustrates how much they need from a bench player like Quinn. They don't need him to come out and put up 20. Come out, give us a couple shots, knock down a couple threes, couple cuts to the rim. Perfect. He still has his flaws. There were a couple turnovers in there that weren't great, but the fact he's knocking down his shots is a major bonus for this team. In the second quarter, I mean, it was just more of the Warriors, man. Lockdown defense, solid offense. Here's the other thing. The offense was good, not great. It was the defense that really carried them throughout this game. In the second, with about 3 minutes, 30 seconds left in the second quarter, Clay locks up Westbrook. I mean, locks him up, gets the block. Westbrook couldn't do anything. He gets so frustrated, he comes and takes a cheap foul on Clay, complains to the refs, gets a T. First off, a lot of other players might take a swing at Westbrook or something, but instead, Clay, being Clay, is just laughing, flexing to the crowd, loving every second of it. Westbrook's such a clown. I really, really good player, but the guy's just a clown on the court. I can't understand his thinking, his rationale doing something like that. Picks up his 16th technical. Now he'll be suspended for tonight's game. I forget who they're playing, but it doesn't matter because Westbrook's not playing because he's an idiot. So moving on, Warriors, huge lead in the after the first half. They're up 18 going into the locker room. This thing was pretty much done. The Thunder, you know, would cut it to 13-12 at times, and then Warriors would then again get it back up. It was a slow back and forth, honestly. The Warriors got outscored by 2 in the third, so they're up 16 going into the fourth, and then there was just some extended garbage time in the fourth. No big deal. A great sequence, though. Early in the third, Klay Thompson cutting to the rim, gets the dime, throws down a pretty vicious Klay Thompson dunk. Like, it was nice, on Steven Adams, and at the timeout, Klay goes over to Quinn Cook and Jordan Bell and just has to ask, is that a body? Did I catch a body right there? I don't know what answer they gave him. I would say yes. Maybe body adjacent, but it definitely was. I'd say it was the best dunk of the year for Klay, for sure, who's just a dunking fiend right now. Like, that guy, forget it. Forget about it. That guy is throwing him down. One thing that was pretty big for the Warriors before we move on was their rebounding. Now, they did out-rebound the Thunder by 1. I thought it was a great swarming rebounding effort. The only thing is the Thunder had 17 offensive rebounds to the Dubs 8, which that's just something you're going to have to deal with the Thunder, is they get a ton of offensive rebounds. Steven Adams gets a ton of offensive rebounds. That guy is a freaking 7-foot soda machine with legs. He is ridiculous. Maybe one of my favorite centers in the game. Well, not maybe. He is one of my favorite centers in the game. But 7 offensive rebounds. I mean, there's only so much you can do. It's like if Giannis goes off for 45, yeah, he's going to get his. And in the same way, Steven Adams is going to get his offensive rebounds. But as far as the total numbers go, good job by the Warriors. out-rebounded him by one, 45 defensive rebounds for the Dubs. I'll take it. Good game by the Warriors. They get the W. Going to take a quick break, come back, maybe some sound from post-game, talk about tonight's game as well, all that and more coming up next on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. But first, we all know the first weekend of the NCAA tournament is the greatest betting event of the year. Not just for me personally, for everybody. Whether you like filling out a bracket, picking a national champion, predicting first round upsets, or all the above, MyBookie is the perfect home for your March Madness fun. Will Zion and his teammates cement their legacy at Duke with a title? Can Virginia get past its loss to a 16 seed last year? Probably not. And can Kentucky get back to the Final Four? That's going to be tough. If you know the answers, or even if you don't, MyBookie is the place to get in on the action. They have something for everyone, even you, multiple bracket guy. Ugh. MyBookie has been in business for years. The goal is to give you the best customer service in the business. And the best part is, they pay out fast when you win. I'm talking 48 hours. I get my cash. Bet with the best, then kick back and enjoy March Madness while you watch your picks cash in. Deposit with MyBookie today using the promo code LOCKEDONNBA for a 50% sign-up bonus. 50%, that's promo code LOCKEDONNBA. With MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. What's good? Finishing talking about the OKC game, which was another big win, another statement game, some might like to call it, for the Dubs. It was good, man. It was a rival beating a rival at their house. And the way they did it, too, just putting the clamps on them defensively. It was great. Three pretty loud statement games in the last week or so for the teams directly below them in the standings. Beat the Nuggets at home, beat the Rockets in Houston, beat Thunder in OKC. I mean, throw out that Phoenix game, and it's a great stretch. And the thing with the Phoenix game, it just shows that it's just boredom. Who cares about a random game against Phoenix in March? Which is frustrating to see, but them showing up against the better teams is a great sign, no question. One thing that happened on Saturday was Ron Adams, the stoic Ron Adams, the quiet Ron Adams, told Steve Kerr that he thought tonight was the Warriors' best defensive game of the season against OKC, allowed only 88 points and 32% shooting. Ron Adams doesn't throw out compliments like that a lot, man. So you better believe it, that it was an elite defensive performance by the Dubs. Moving on to tonight's game against San Antonio. As I mentioned earlier, no DeMarcus Cousins. He is out with a foot sprain, ankle soreness, whatever. Initially on Saturday, they said it was ankle soreness. And then yesterday they said, getting an MRI on his foot. So whatever it is, he's out for tonight and tomorrow. We'll see what happens moving forward, when he'll be available, etc. Boogie is out. Andre Iguodala is also out. He has a tooth extraction scheduled for either today or tomorrow. I forget. But he's going to be out tonight also. And, I mean, if the tooth is getting pulled tomorrow, then he'd probably be out tomorrow too. But no word on that yet. Who knows? All we know, Boogie for the next two games, Andre for tonight. Kevin Durant is back, though. He will be starting tonight. And also, the grand opening, I don't know what you call it, the return, I guess that's what you call it, I'm dumb, of Andrew Bogut to the Golden State Warriors. The plan was to keep him in the Bay until they returned, but the Boogie injury changed things. And Steve Kerr said, look, we're playing against LaMarcus Aldridge tonight. And don't forget about Jacob Poeltl either. And then Karl-Anthony Towns tomorrow. Like, we are going to need a big body that we don't have. So Bogut, you know, we had to change plans. And Bogut is going to be playing for us tonight. So you're going to get the return of Bogut this evening. It'll be interesting to see how much he plays. Probably not a ton. I would max him out at probably 12 minutes or so, which is different for most guys, you know, joining a new team. Is that he knows this team. He knows what's going on, obviously. Knows the offense, knows the defense. And reporters seem to be really intrigued with Bogut's return and just how he'll fit in with the team, etc. Steph actually had dinner with him last night and was asked about it, specifically if it was a long dinner.
It was like 7 hours. We just sat right here face to face. Shared our deepest secrets and thoughts. It's kind of what we do. It's initiation for everybody that joins our team. So he's not special in that sense. He has to go through that like everybody else.
There's Steph, obviously having some fun at the expense of the reporters. It hasn't been a big deal as far as Bogut's return. They're happy to have him. It's a familiar face, and they all know what they're getting. So it should be interesting to see how he plays tonight, though, and what his return brings as far as on the court. Taking on the Spurs tonight, the Spurs are still fighting for seeding. So are the Warriors. Their win against the Rockets and their previous wins against OKC and Denver have helped them maintain the one seed, but they're still only one game up on Denver. The three seed Rockets are now four games behind the Warriors. So it looks like it's either going to be one or two for the Warriors. They would like to hang on to the one seed, obviously. And then on top of that, when you look at the Eastern Conference, the Warriors are behind the Raptors and the Bucks. One game behind the Raptors, four games behind the Bucks, and this matters strictly for the finals and home court advantage. They obviously want to get the one seed in the West to be ahead of the Nuggets, but if they can surpass the Raptors and or the Bucks, that's all gravy too. So the Warriors are definitely still playing for something. Until they feel like it's out of reach, they're going to be playing pretty seriously, pretty hard for something. And the Spurs are playing for something as well. Like I mentioned, they're fighting for seeding in the Western Conference. They are currently the sixth seed, but only a half game ahead of the Jazz and the Clippers, and only one game behind OKC. Like I've been saying, man, it's going to be interesting to see how this Western Conference playoff seeding falls. Going to take one last break, come back, wrap things up for the day. This is Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. What's good? Just went over the game in OKC as well as tonight's game in San Antonio. Boogie being out, Andre being out, KD being back, the return of Andrew Bogut, the seeding. I mean, just about everything. Probably missed about a bunch of stuff as well, but whatever. As far as league pass picks go for tonight, there are 9 games on the board. Some interesting ones. This isn't my pick, but Heat and Thunder are going to be interesting because, as we know, Russell Westbrook threw a temper tantrum and is suspended for tonight's game. As far as what the actual picks will be, I have to go with Blazers, Pacers. That's just interesting to me. Again, the Pacers maintaining their record and still being good is just crazy. Blazers are always interesting to me. I don't know why. Maybe it's a West Coast thing. I'm not sure. And then Nuggets-Celtics, a potential finals matchup. I know, I think we all expect the Warriors to be there, but who knows? This is the 2 seed in the West and one of the best teams in the East, and I'm still just confused as hell by the Celts. And then also Warriors-Spurs, obviously. Whenever Warriors are taking on a playoff team, it's must-view viewing. It's appointment viewing, must-see TV. I don't know, man. I'm losing it. Thank you guys for listening. Going to be back tomorrow with another episode of Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You can't climb a mountain if it's smooth, right? You got to go over the rough spots. Peace.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.